What is up, boys and girls, and everything in between? It's Bear With Us. I am Matt. She is Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I'm good. I'm just thinking about the amount of pressure that I feel that I put on myself to dance for this opening, because now with the YouTube channel, I feel like I have to do something rather than just sit here.
You chose some very questionable dance moves. You really were teetering into bachelorette party territory.
I wasn't really feeling motivated. I mean, it's rainy. It's cold here in Pittsburgh today. It's just like dreary. It's dark. And I'm not feeling like I'm in a good mood. I'm just not feeling extra spicy.
You went right back to the same. You're going to the dance moves.
Extra spicy today. I just wasn't
feeling
like.
You're feeling spicy?
I wasn't feeling it. So that's not like the pressure to have to like dance for this opening song. I'm like, ugh, I'm just not feeling it right now.
Well, luckily, we are about to take a trip down memory lane to somewhere where the weather was perfect, where the weather was beautiful, where we got to enjoy ourselves without having to worry about the doldrums of Pittsburgh weather as we are now. It is May. It should be way closer to summer than what we're getting. The weather here sucks. It is hard to get motivated. It's hard for me to wake up. I still feel, we were talking on the drive-in, that I'm still waking up.
How are you today?
I'm just waking up. I'm still waking up. My finger is throbbing. I'm pretty sure it's infected. I nearly chopped it off the other day on a cardboard box. And I woke up in the middle of the night last night. When I eventually woke you up, because I was tending to my hand, because my whole hand was throbbing. I felt like perhaps something was seriously wrong.
Does this happen to anyone else when their partner wakes up in the middle of the night, they wake up? Like, I cannot not wake up. Every time you wake up, whether it's to go use the restroom or if you're just like looking over at your phone to see what time it is, or if you're grabbing a swig of water, I'm up. I'm up. Like, automatically I'm up. Why can't I sleep through anything you do in the middle of the night?
I could sleep through damn Category 5 tornado, I swear. Once I'm out, I'm out.
I know. It's really, and then the cats this morning woke me up because Pyro, he usually, Pancake, full disclosure, has 7,000 bones around the house. We give him a bone every morning when he goes outside. And sometimes he doesn't finish it. He likes to leave little fragments around the house. And Pyro,
let's call it what it is. Our dog is spoiled beyond comprehension.
Yes.
And only eats certain parts of certain treats that he prefers. And then he leaves the rest just sort of scattered throughout the house to become more dangerous to my well-being than a landmine. You know, the joke is when you're a grown-up and you like step on your kid's Legos.
Yeah.
This is worse than Legos. This is rawhide or non-rawhide, whatever it is that he's chewing, sticking directly into the sole of my foot anytime I get out of bed, particularly in the middle of the night, which does not make for a great experience.
But he leaves them around because he likes to play with them. And so does our cat Pyro. He thinks they're little soccer balls, and he plays soccer with them on our hardwood floors and wakes me up in the morning. So that's why I was up early. But it's really annoying. Like, it doesn't wake you up, yet you scratch your nose in the middle of the night, and I'm like, babe, you all right? Like, it's so annoying. I wake up to like the slightest little sound or movement.
As much as I would love to help you with that issue, baby, that's something you got to take care of on your own.
It's frustrating. Does anyone else do that, or is it just me? Please let me know. Write in, send a letter,
send a tweet, leave a comment on Instagram, email us at the official Bear With Us mailbag, which we will dip into later on.
Take a little dip.
As we continue part two of what we started last week.
I just want to say thank you for all of the positive feedback on the wedding episode. Everyone seemed to love it. We got so many messages, emails, DMs that it was their favorite episode. And I was worried it was going to be boring because it's just us pontificating about our wedding day, wedding week. And you guys seem to enjoy it. So I appreciate that. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening and for your feedback. We hope, you know, I got a message yesterday about this woman who's about to get married in 9 days. And she's like, I really like listening to your episode because I got some tips. So,
well, there you go. Well, stay tuned because maybe we'll provide you a few usable tips for the honeymoon activities, should you be so inclined.
That feels like so long ago.
I know. It feels like a million years ago.
It's so crazy.
We're no longer even newlyweds. We've been married over a month.
It's a month. That's newlyweds. I feel like newlyweds is the first few years.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know what the cutoff was.
At least the first year, I would think.
I think newlyweds are like in this day and age is very different than probably what it traditionally was. Sure. Like we've lived together for two years already, so not really much has changed in our grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Aside from now, if I die, you get all my money.
Right.
I haven't seen you smile that big in weeks. Not since we were in Maui, Hawaii for our honeymoon in the wake of our amazing wedding week that we talked about. And if for some reason you missed last week, it's available in the archives as are all of our past Bear With Us episodes. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, throw us a rating. I've been slacking on staying on everybody to rate us.
Yes.
Rate the episodes. It helps spread the word and let everybody know that we're out here and what we're doing. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell anybody. Just continue to spread the word as we grow the Bear With Us podcast into whatever it will be in its final form.
It's been almost 2 years. Isn't that
crazy? I was really surprised pleasantly, and thank you guys for everybody just seemed to pick up where they left off.
Right.
We looked at the numbers yesterday, and it was actually above the curve of what it normally does.
Right.
So obviously a few people missed us, so we are grateful for that. But now
we missed you.
As promised, we are going to dive back into the second half of our amazing week of love, 2 weeks of love, half month of love.
Month? I mean, are we not in love anymore?
Well, I'm just saying we really leaned into the love for two particular weeks, the wedding and then the honeymoon.
And where, then you just stopped loving me.
That, well, I mean, listen, I don't want to say I stopped, but there was a different stratosphere that I think we were both existing in for 2 weeks.
Right.
I still love you just as much. I just don't feel...
like showing it?
Like showing it. That's it. That's what it is.
I figured.
I wore myself out
over
the 2 weeks.
Love that for me.
So we went to Maui.
We did go to Maui. Matt hates me. He really hates me.
I don't
me.
Hate you.
Well, if we want to be real, can we be real for a second?
Are we ever anything but...
We got into our first fight yesterday as a married couple.
I'm disagreeing already because it wasn't a fight.
Well, not a fight. I mean, it was the first day that we've had since we haven't been lovey-dovey, obsessed with each other since we've been married.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, I would not say the honeymoon's over. I think we're still in the honeymoon phase. However, we did get in, not even a fight. We just were like...
We communicated.
Yeah, a little bit loudly.
At times on one half aggressively.
You're so annoying. Like, I'm not aggressive. You tell me how I feel, and it's really frustrating. We need to work through this before we talk about the honeymoon. Because
okay.
I'm not going to be able to talk about the honeymoon in, like, a great light until we work through this.
Okay.
So we need to talk about it.
We're taking a detour, guys. Yeah. We're not getting to Maui just yet. Maui Matt is on the back burner.
We're on the flight.
I think once we explain Maui Matt, everything, the magnitude of yesterday will really come into play. So let's work through this.
Yeah.
Why not? Honesty, communication, and sex. Let's be honest and communicate.
Yeah.
And if we play our cards right, who
then
knows? This might get
will.
Us kicked off YouTube.
Yeah. So we went for a walk yesterday. We went for a walk yesterday, and we're walking Pancake. And Matt was not being the same that he has been the last few days in my eyes. So I'm like, he's being quiet and short. And I'm like, what's up? Like, I always say, what's up with you, boy? That's like my thing. Rather than being like, why are you being weird? I say like, what's up with you, boy? And he was like, nothing, I'm fine. And you know, nothing, I'm fine. He's like being short. And you know, you were being different.
I disagree. And as a dude, when we say nothing, I'm fine, it's oftentimes much less threatening. And there are many fewer layers than when a female generally says, I'm fine.
Well, sure.
I was fine. I was the one that suggested going on a walk. I was in a good mood.
Just because you suggest going on a walk doesn't mean everything's great. You used that so many times yesterday in your argument that I'm the one that suggested for going for a walk. Okay, so does that mean that things are still like not a little weird or awkward between us?
Well, that's just like your opinion, man.
Okay, so where do we even start?
I don't know.
You said that I've been being... Okay, here's my thing. This is where I'm coming from, right? So Matt and I got married. We were on our honeymoon. You know, we weren't thinking about work, weren't worried about work or anything outside of our love bubble. For anyone that's a Real Housewives fan over there.
Love bubble.
Our love bubble.
That's a Real Housewives thing? Oh, I was going to give you all sorts of
credit for that. She's like, don't pop my love bubble. That's what she's always... I'm in my love bubble. So we're in our little love bubble for the last month. Here's the thing. Get back to reality. For me, I'm at a point in my life, in my career, where I'm trying to figure out what am I passionate about? What do I want to, like, I'm 34. I'm in this weird phase where I'm like, do I want to have kids? I don't know. Am I ready for kids? I'm not sure yet. I want to explore other avenues. You know, obviously, if you're listening, for the most part, you know what we do in our everyday or our real job. And I'm not saying that's going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. I still have this job. It's not ending by any means. But I want to, like, try to figure out, what else am I passionate about? What else do I want to focus on?
Well, just for context, I think that's a problem that a lot of us, especially in our business, run into, because our job and our lives, it's so all-consuming.
Yes.
That I sure as hell haven't developed any new hobbies or interests since, you know, despite the fact that we get to travel and we get exposed to all this cool different stuff, but it's all in such small doses and so fast for such a short period of time that oftentimes there's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, and there's no time to even remember that.
Right. So now you are still in the same schedule boat where you're working just as frequently, you're traveling just as much, but now you're sort of looking off into the horizon as to, like, hey, when this chapter wraps up, what's next? And it's next to impossible to explore or really find yourself while still in the midst of what we're doing.
Right. But I'm trying to do it, right? It's not impossible.
No, you know, but it's very tough.
My schedule hasn't been as crazy as it has been in recent years, like in years past, you know, before, like, be on the road 5 days a week, home 1.5, and have zero time for anything, or be on the road 2-3 weeks at a time. And my schedule is not that crazy anymore. So I'm grateful for that. So I'm like, okay, let me try to figure out what else I want to do with my life. And I just, like, again, I said, I'm 34. I'm at sort of this crossroads. Do I want to have kids? Do I want to focus on kids? Or do I want to focus on another avenue before I start a family with you? And I just don't know. And I'm just trying to figure that out, right? And it's not, there's no rule book. There's no timetable. It's not like, when you're this age, you have to do this. Or once you do this in your career, you have to, I don't know. There's no rule book. So I'm just trying to figure it out, right? So now that we're not on our honeymoon anymore and we're home, and with our schedule, it's weird because it's not like we wake up in the morning and we go to work 9 to 5, or we go to work for half a day and then we come home. It's hard to get yourself on a schedule, especially when you're home 4 or 5 days a week, right? So we leave on Sundays, we work on Mondays, we're home on Tuesdays. Sometimes I'm on the road Saturdays and Sundays for live events, but sometimes I'm not. So then it's like we have during the week to just kind of, it's a free-for-all, right? Most of the time, you know, I'm going to the gym, I have appointments, we're doing our podcast, working on social media things and stuff like that. But it's not like a set schedule. So my thing is, sometimes I need to take some time out of the day to focus on this. If this is my goal and trying to figure out what I'm passionate about, I have to spend a few hours a day, like, let me do some research. Let me send some texts out to random people that I've met throughout, you know, these last few years in this business and figure out what it is that I want to do. Reach out, like, hey, what do you think about this? Or I'm just putting feelers out. Do you think I'd be good at that? You know, just trying to figure that out. And Matt gets annoyed, or I don't know the right word. I don't want to put words in your mouth, when I'm not present all day.
Annoyed is definitely not the right word. And this is what I was trying to convey to you yesterday during our walking heated debate, is that I've been with you long enough and I know you and I pay attention to you and I notice, and it's not a Leah specific problem. Everybody does it. Everybody's got different headspaces and mindsets that they find themselves in. And nobody is the same. Nobody is consistent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
I, in no way, and this is where I think it was getting lost in translation, I was not trying to fault you in any way yesterday. It's just a matter of, you get into these modes, which is the word I used yesterday.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you.
This is where
because
the
I hate the word mode. Like, it's not like I'm getting into a mode, like, as if it's like I flip a switch and this is who I am and I'm not myself anymore. And that's what set me off.
But that's how it kind of is. You're not mean or rude or less than, you just become hyper focused, particularly when it comes to work. So it's not necessarily a flaw, but when you're trying to do something, you have a goal you're looking to accomplish that's sort of ill-defined, so you're sort of spreading yourself in 12 different directions right now. But when you get in those mindsets, is that better, mindset than mode? Mindset, where you are focused on work and professional business and your future as pertains to money and income and things like that, you become different. And it's not bad, it's just different. And I've learned over the past several years of being with you, before I even married you, that when you get in these moods, the best success that I have had is when I just sort of step back. I sort of remove myself from the equation and let you, to use your favorite phrase, do you. Because I know that you're doing X, Y, and Z, and I know that it's for a very valid reason. I have just noticed, because you get into this mindset where if it's not what you're working on and what you're focusing on, you don't have time for it in that instance. And that's okay. I'm aware of that. So rather than me being like Pancake, jumping up and down while you're sitting at the table trying to work or trying to eat or trying to, you know, do whatever it is you're trying to do, I just sort of fade back until I see a signal from you or something from you that I can, and it's, I truly believe this as I'm saying this, I can tell when Leah's back, when my Leah's back, my happy-go-lucky, you know what I'm saying? And it's not long, it's never long-term. It's, and that's why I don't stress about it. That's why I didn't start an argument about it or wasn't prying into you. Like Monday when I got, or Tuesday when I got home, I could tell something was up and something was up and it was minor and we talked about it and it was what it was. But I think that even was an issue because you were in that work mindset. So rather than trying to break you out of it, because I've learned I can't break you out of that because you look at it from a positive perspective, right? Like you enjoy, or you are looking and doing all these things as a positive means to an end, correct?
Correct.
I don't want to say you're enjoying it. Maybe you're enjoying it a little bit, but you feel accomplished. Like you're moving toward a goal. No?
Yeah.
Right. So rather than me trying to go, hey, what do you want to do? I miss you. I love you. Come pay attention to me. I just sort of fade back, which is something I've learned since we've been together, where I go, okay, it's not her. It's not me. She's not mad at me. She's just in that headspace. So I just fall back. So in an instance where you go, hey, you're what's up with you? You're being quiet. You're not being talkative. You're not being yourself, which I guess by definition, I wouldn't be my normal self. I've been this backed off version for the past 2 or 3 days. It's just me playing the waiting game.
Okay, can I talk?
Yeah, that was the first time I get to get that out in completion. So
for me, it feels almost like you're talking about it like as if it's a hindrance. You're like, you get in these modes for 2-3 days at a time. It's not about being that version of Leah for 2 or 3 days at a time. It's like, let me take two. And you guys, I'm not spending hours and hours locked in my room or locked in my office focusing on, it's like maybe 2 hours a day.
Right.
And then I'm back to being normal. Right. But you act as if I'm in this mode since the hour I wake up to the minute I go to sleep. It's like, I'm not. You take the 2 or 3 hours that I'm spent focused on answering emails, doing work calls, meetings, things like that, as me being a different Leah, when it's really just a few hours. And then I'm back to, babe, let's make dinner. Let's do this. And sometimes what I need from you as my partner is to not back off, is to not just, well, she's in this mode, I can't talk to her. It's like, no, I'm still me. I want to still have conversations with you. I still want to joke around, laugh, and be cool. And I can still do that after this meeting and before the next meeting. But you take it as if I'm like focused on something, if I'm working on something that you can't even talk to me. And it's like, sometimes I just want you to be like, oh, babe, how did that go? We want to talk about it? Okay, cool. No, you want to talk about it later? Cool. No big deal. But instead you're like, oh, can't talk to Leah because she's in Leah mode right now. And it's like, that's not how I am. And I know you like to think you know how I'm feeling. It's like, think about if I were to wake up at 9 a.m. or wake up at 7 a.m., go to work at 9, and then come home at 5. That between 9 and 5, that means I can't talk to you, or like we're not sending texts to each other, or we're not communicating. I'm still focused on work, and then I come home and like, hey, guess what? It was a bad day at the office today. I'm pissed off. Does that mean that you can't talk to me? It's like, no, I want to bitch about what happened at work. And I just feel like because we have a different schedule and we have a different lifestyle because of our job, because we go travel for work and then come home and have 5 days at home, I'm not going to spend every day with you sitting on the couch watching TV or going and gallivanting like, oh, do you want to go visit this today?
Well,
or
you
go
were mad
do that
at me about yesterday. It was, I
because
said I didn't feel like sitting on the couch watching TV.
And that's fine. And I don't want to do that all day, every day either. But you want to spend all day, every day together, going here, there, and everywhere. And it's sweet and it's cute. And it's not like, oh, I can't believe he wants to spend all day with. That's not what I mean. Like, oh, screw you, I don't want to spend all day with you. What my perspective is, I need to focus on some other and not just spend all day in La La Land with my husband because we love being together. At some point, one of us has to be like, okay, we have to focus on some other so we can enjoy our life and not have to worry about how we're going to pay this or going to pay that, because life isn't life. I'm someone who's not like, life is work. It's not always about work. I like to have fun too, but there needs to be a balance. And I just feel like, I know how you are when you get home and you're not at work. You're not even thinking about work. You're not. And what you do is different than what I do. And what my goals are different than what your goals are. And for me, this is a time in my life I need to kind of figure out what this next step looks like for me and what I'm passionate about. And I know you're not mad at me for it. You're not upset with me. But you sometimes, like when you do this back off thing, like where you can't talk to me because you have to pull back, it makes me feel like I'm doing something wrong. And I know that's not your intention, but that's how it makes me feel. Because like, oh, I can't talk to her because she's in Leo mode. It's not like if you talk to me, I'm like, Matt, what? I'm like, snap at you. Or you said I'm not mean. I'm not bitchy. I'm just focused.
Right.
And you take that as in a different way than what I'm trying to.
No, I take it that way because I know like there's no use in starting up a particular conversation or time to crack a joke or things like that, because you are in this singular, and it's probably part of the reason why you are at the point you are in your career, because you are so driven and so motivated. But I'm telling you from an outsider's perspective, and I can't get, I mean, I'm as close as I can be to you, but I'm still not you. From that perspective, it is a noticeable difference in how you are. And again, it's not a problem. So that's to me why that, I think that's why the whole argument took place, was I was going, I'm not mad. I just don't have anything to say because I have had a pretty uneventful day and a half, and I know you've been wrapped up in your stuff, so I just don't engage.
But what frustrates me is when you're telling me that I'm being different for 2 or 3 days at a time, because I get in these paths where it's only 2 or 3 days, and then what, next week I'm just fine, and even though I'm still focused on work, I'm just not in Leo mode. Like, I don't understand.
It's like a cliff that you like are always kind of on the edge of, and that's your like, what was I said normal yesterday, and then every once in a while you just fall off the side of the cliff as far as like mentally. It's not bad. It's not a problem. That was what I was trying to convey you yesterday.
That's the thing that I just don't understand, because you told me I'm like this for days at a time.
Like,
and
two
I don't
or three
understand.
Days.
But how am I like that when in the morning, if I'm making breakfast and we're drinking coffee and I'm joking around with you, I'm laughing, and I'm like, okay, babe, I have to go do this meeting now, or I have this call now. Like, I'm not like that during the time before I do my call.
No.
We're still talking. We're joking. And then I go do my calls, do my meetings, have some stuff. And then we're making dinner together. We're joking. We're laughing. We're right. Watching TV. We're going and doing whatever, going out for dinner, and I'm in a great mood. So that's why for me, it's hard to grasp what you're saying if I'm like that for days at a time, when it's only the mid part of the day when like people would be at work anyway. And that's why I'm having a hard time understanding, like, you're generalizing it that I'm just like that.
No, I'm
for
not.
Days at a time.
I'm not. I specifically told you it's not a problem. It never lasts long, which is why rather than it
because that's, I'm like that. I do that all every week.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Every week I'm in meetings. Every week I'm doing calls. Every week I'm doing work.
A noticeable, dare I say, pattern. Do you think I would have had reason to adapt like I have, correctly or incorrectly, to where I pull back? Because it's happened frequently enough to where it's caused a reaction in how I react. Like, it's caused a change in how I react to the situation. I don't fight it. I don't have to like bear down and go, oh shit, got to get through this one. It's just like, oh, she's the, okay, I'm just going to let her be for a little while and we'll get back to normal. And then I just wait until I see, and it could be the same day. It's not always 2 full days or 3 full days, or sometimes it's 2 or 3 hours, and I just go, all right, she's busy. Oh, hey, you're back, you're done. And then it's just, it's me reading you on how you are. Just the, like I said yesterday, your default setting is very lighthearted and bubbly, and you're in a good mood, and you're smiling, and you elevate my mood, and you're always just, you're easy to be around. So when you get in these moods, it's not that you're difficult to be around, it's just you're not normal, to use you're not at your default. So I react slightly different. I pivot where I go, okay, no different than anybody listening to this who's married or has a, you know, if it's that time of the month or there's a something that changes in how your partner acts as a partner, it's on you to sort of figure out how to navigate that. And that's how I've noticed to this point up until yesterday that the way I've navigated it recently has worked out pretty well for me because you usually don't
for
even
you.
Notice.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
I do, though. I do notice. And then it's like, I notice that you get like that. So then I have to be extra over the top fun and happy and joking to get you back to where you should be or where you are when you're normal with me. And it's like, I feel like I'm putting in all this extra effort both sides. It's like, okay, I'm trying to focus on work. I'm trying to get better and figure out what to do with my career. And you're just like, oh, I'm pulling back. And then it's like, okay, like I can't focus on that without you getting mad at me. So then, well, babe, everything's great. Let me be happy and bubbly and make things better.
At no point have I been mad.
But you act different.
That's not being mad. That's me just being, I would say maybe a little distant, but this distance is not mad.
So if I go to work, right? If I work at 7-Eleven and I go to 7-Eleven for 8 hours a day, you're going to be distant.
No, I'm going to be occupied with, I'm going to know that I don't have you.
Right.
Right.
So that's my point. Do I have to get an office outside of our house in order to go to make sure you understand? Like, hey, I'm just doing work stuff. Nothing to do with you. You don't need to be distant. You don't need to be quiet. You don't need to pull back. But I'm just at work.
It's not that you're doing work. It's how you act toward me. I know. This is why this argument will never end, because you and I are having two different discussions. You're worried about you. I have no problem with you doing work. I'm not asking you to reduce it or to stop it or to change it. You have to do what you do. I have noticed that when you are doing what you have to do, you act differently toward me. It's not intentional. I know that for a fact now. But it is what it is. You act differently toward me when you're in that, I'm trying not to use the word mode, space.
Okay, so then what you
so
just said.
No, you act differently. So over the past several years, I have learned that this generally works for me. This week it didn't work. This week it set you off or upset you because you took offense to it. But up until this point, babe, I promise you, I've used this same tactic with you for a year where I just see how you are and I just go, okay.
Well, we've had a fight about like this, what was it, last summer on the podcast when I was focused on my wine. We had the same argument where you're like, I'm different because I'm focused on work. We've had this same conversation before.
Okay.
And but my point is, I'm just doing work. I'm just asking you, like, if I say I go to 7-Eleven and I'm working at 7-Eleven, you're like, okay, well, that's different because I'll be occupied.
I didn't say it was different. I said I would be occupied. Right. I would just know to occupy myself.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking you to do when I'm doing this.
Exactly what I'm doing. When I pull back, I'm occupying myself. I know that
that's all I'm asking.
And that's all I've been doing.
And that's all I'm asking.
But you got upset for how I did it.
Because it was how you were saying it yesterday. Your delivery was really rude.
My delivery
was wrong.
You're like,
you're Leah mode and you're in this mode. I just want you to be normal. It's like, that's offensive to hear like your husband be like, oh, just be normal. Why don't you be normal? Who wants to be normal? Normal sucks.
Normal Leah.
I know what you're saying, but like you said earlier, you can't be the same person, the same mood 24 hours a day. Everyone gets in moods, I guess. And for me, I'm not in a mood. I'm working. And that's all I'm trying to say. There's a difference.
There's no
from
argument
you being
for
in
me.
A mood or working. And when we're saying the 7-Eleven analogy, now it makes sense. When you're saying I would be, all I'm asking is for you to be the same way as if I were going to work at 7-Eleven or I'm going up in my office to work. I'm not.
And I am, and I do. The problem is, if you went to work at a different job at 7-Eleven, you might have an 8-hour window where you are gone.
Right.
So it's a little tricky when you're gone for an hour, and then you're in your office working for 90 minutes, and then you're downstairs for an hour, but then you have another call.
Yeah.
That's start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. So I just say, all right, well, she's going to go back into that mode in 15 minutes. I'm just going to stay here where I'm at. I'm not being rude. If you notice, like I won't start like an in-depth conversation or just because it's, I know you're going right back into that mood. So I'm not going to try to change it. When the day ends and I know you are done, then it could be a problem if I stayed in it, but I don't.
But that's what I was asking. 'Cause you were like that yesterday when we were we weren't talking, and like I wasn't even working yesterday. We were sitting on the front porch. I got an Apple Watch. I was like working on my Apple Watch. You came, didn't even say anything, and then you asked to go on a walk. Great, let's go on a walk. And as we're going on a walk, you're not talking, and I was like, babe, what's wrong? And you're like, I'm just giving back what I'm getting. And I'm like, I've been in fine. Yesterday morning, I woke up. I was singing. I was making you coffee. I was in Leah default mode, according to you, joking around. Yet you were still bringing it over to the next day. And that's where my issue was. That's where I was like having a hard time comprehending what you're saying, because I wasn't in Leah, this other mode of work mode yesterday, because I did everything I had to do in the morning. And we were hanging out in the afternoon, going on a walk with the dog and joking. I was joking and you were still in this pullback mode. And that's why I was having a hard time with it, because I didn't understand. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Because you were still in this pullback mode yesterday, even though I was default Leah, according to you. Okay. So that's why I was having a hard time. I didn't understand why you were still in pullback mode.
Okay. Well, because I didn't know that. I didn't feel at that point that you were out of it. So no, I'm telling you. I'm not blaming you. I'm just telling you, at that moment when we were on the walk, I still hadn't seen normal Leah yet. You may have been there. You may have been. I'm not arguing or disputing. I'm not saying you treated me poorly or you did anything wrong. I just never got like that signal or that feeling of like, okay, she's back.
So me singing and me joking, grabbing your ass when we're walking.
You haven't grabbed my ass since we were in Hawaii.
Oh, you're so full of shit, Brown. But I was being what I thought was default okay. Leah, joking around. And that's why we got into this heated debate yesterday when we were walking, because I'm like, I'm being myself and you weren't.
You were
and
heated.
Then you, I wasn't.
I'm still Maui Matt.
No, you're not.
I don't get heated anymore.
Yeah, okay. But that was my whole point of why, like, this, I just didn't understand. I didn't get it. Yesterday.
Did I explain it eloquently enough today?
Yeah, but I understand where you're coming from. But do you understand where I'm coming from? You're not even admitting anything from your end. I'm telling you, okay, like I get what you mean now. We're talking, you're basically acting as if I'm at work, but when I'm coming back and I'm done and I'm myself, you're still not out of that. You're still not out of that pullback mode. So that's what I'm saying. How do I get you to get back into default Matt?
Just give me like some time or like a few minutes or make me laugh. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's what I wait on. That there's a perfect
signal. But I did
signal.
Do that. You just didn't receive it.
Okay. Well, all right. So we were just not on the same page. It wasn't even, that's what I tried telling you last night. It wasn't an argument. I was never trying to prove a point, or you asked me what was wrong and I told you and you didn't like it.
Once in a while, I just want you to be like, oh, I didn't even realize that. Like, admit some faults sometimes. Like, just, like, once in a while, I just want you to be like, okay, well, I didn't realize that. That's my bad, too. Like, I feel like I'm always saying, oh, okay, now I understand what you're saying. And you just always like, nope, my way or the highway. And it's not about who's right or wrong, but I'm just saying, like, okay, I understand what you're saying. And all I'm asking is for you once in a while to be like, okay, yeah, I get that. And I can see from your perspective how I wasn't acting that way. But instead, you always turn into, oh, well, I didn't know. Or you turn it into something like, well, that's what, like, it's always like in defense of you rather than just being like, okay, you're right. I was being like that. I should have done X, Y, Z, or like just once in a while, I just want you to have some humility.
I promise to start admitting to things more frequently, even if I
see it's always this, always there's always a caveat. It can never just you can't ever.
I don't know what you want me to
fault.
Apologize for. I'm
not
sorry if
apologize.
I was still in pullback mode. I was just reacting
just
to what I thought
admit-
was right. I was what I just did. I just said I'm sorry that I was because I was still acting the way I thought I needed to act. How is that?
No, that's not an apology. That's not a real admission of anything. Because I was acting the way I was thought I was supposed to act. No, it's just yesterday, I was joking around with you all day. I wasn't even working yesterday. So, like, I don't understand why you are still acting that way. It's fine. No one has to be perfect. I understand. I get in moods. You get in moods. I'm just saying. I'm admitting that I understand what you're saying now with that 7-Eleven analogy. Just try to understand where I'm coming from.
Okay. I am. I don't know what you want me to say.
You make me sick.
Why?
Because it's always Matt's way or no way.
This is not my way. I'm not trying to win anything. There's no debate that somebody could side with me for. This is just me. I act the way I do because, generally speaking, it works well when dealing with you in these types of moods. And this week, it didn't work. So I'm sorry that it didn't work. I'm sorry that my method that has brought me so much success over the past 3 years failed me on this day. And I understand your point that I didn't get out of my headspace fast enough. I don't know what else to apologize for. It wasn't like I didn't say something mean to you.
I didn't apologize. It's just like I just sometimes would like you to be a little more humble when saying what, like, you're just like, no, this is how I do it and this is how it is. And this, like, just, we're just having a conversation. That's all. I just get frustrated because you just drive me nuts that it's always, well, this is how it is because this is how I feel, rather than trying to understand where I'm coming from.
Okay.
We don't need to argue. I just get frustrated.
Okay.
I do. You All right. frustrate me. I want to wring your neck.
I'll try to be less frustrating when you do work.
I can't stand you. Anyway,
we promised the good people, the good Bear With Us listeners, we were going to talk about Maui and Hawaii and honeymoons and love.
Well, let's talk about it.
Well, we don't have any time anymore.
Yes, we do. We have time. We have about 15 minutes.
We got to get in the mailbag, too.
Well, let's talk about Hawaii.
All right.
You start it off.
I was just going to say that I am still in Maui mode because you saw Maui Matt firsthand. And I've come back and I'm backing up my argument with Maui Matt based on when we returned home and found out that my car had been brutally sideswiped, like crashed into, not like, oh, a little bit of paint exchange. Yeah. Like someone gashed the hell out of the side of my Challenger.
Yeah.
And I didn't flip my top. I didn't lose my shit. I ordinarily would have. I just calmly called the insurance company and I'm like, hey, whatever. It is what it is. I feel
if
like I've done a pretty
Maui
good job.
Matt, you would have like lost your mind.
Right, and I'm still Maui Matt because yesterday I would have lost my mind when we were arguing, walking through the town.
Oh, you are such a saint. I don't even know what I did to deserve
I
truly am the luckiest woman on the planet. My angel right here.
I'm feeling like there are some very like level-headed people in the world right now, and I am amongst them.
Sure.
Because I was in the sunshine, watching whales on the beach with my beautiful bride who was scantily clad for the better part of 7 days. What did I have to be upset about?
No, we had the best time. We didn't even go. Well, okay, so we had a few days off between the wedding and the honeymoon, which was, I think, the biggest.
Yes.
Like the smartest thing we could have done.
If anybody is planning a wedding or honeymoon, give yourself 2 or 3 days where you are before you leave to where you are going or where you want to be, because it allows you to recover, look back at the wedding and enjoy that and laugh and really soak that in for a day or two. We had about 2.5 days.
Yeah, we kind of just caught up on sleep and rest, and we felt refreshed by the time we were in Hawaii.
Yeah, we had a long, long travel path to the islands, but we felt great for them because we had rested up the days in between. So if at all possible, rather than waking up at 6 a.m. the morning after your wedding and hopping on a flight, as many people do, it's a pretty common tradition, give yourself at least a day or two to where you feel normal and human. And then when you get to your destination, then you're like recharged and ready to go and ready to enjoy it for all that it's worth, rather than trying to recover from the wedding that just was.
Yeah, we had so much fun. I mean, we were pretty ambitious when we first got there. We're like, we were going to go horseback riding. We're going to go snorkeling. We're going to go on a cruise. We had all these plans of things we were going to do. And then as the days went on, we were like, I think I'm cool just by the pool. I'm cool on the beach. Just like want to chill.
But I think the difference is like we travel so much that we wanted, like you and I both talked before the honeymoon, like, yeah, we want to go to Hawaii. Yes, we want to go somewhere beautiful, somewhere scenic. But the priority for both of us, I'm pretty sure, was just relaxation.
Yeah, we rarely get to be in. We spent, 7 nights in one hotel room? We haven't even spent 7 nights in a row together at our new home.
That's true.
We've never even done that. So for us to have 7 nights in the same bed, it's so rare for us. So we just truly embraced having nothing to do, nowhere to go, no hurries, no worries. But it was great because we were in Hawaii and we could leave the resort. You know, sometimes you go to these resorts and it's not necessarily always safe to venture off
right,
and explore.
You go to Jamaica or Aruba or a lot of these island countries. When you leave the resort, it's not necessarily safe anymore.
Or scenic, or, you know, there's not a lot to do sometimes when you leave these resorts. So in Hawaii, we were able to go explore and walk around and go explore different bars and restaurants. We went ziplining. We did things like that, which was great. But for the most part, parked our butts by the pool, drank Mai Tais.
All of the Mai Tais.
The views were just breathtaking. Like every time we'd wake up, we'd go grab coffee or go to the gym or something. We're like, can we just stop and look at this background? Because it was like we're at one point got used to it. You know, you're just walking by and it's beautiful palm trees. It's right on the edge of the ocean and whales are jumping up into the air, and it was like it was just crazy. It was just mind-blowing. And sometimes we got used to it. I'm like, wait a minute, no, every time I walk by we have to take this in because this is just incredible.
What would you say were your biggest takeaways from the honeymoon that you would give advice to our listeners regarding?
Biggest takeaways. Oh, I don't know. I guess I would say, you know, I know me personally, I'm someone who's crazy about like working out and eating healthy and dieting and this and that. And I just I worked out every day, which was great. It made me feel good to like wake up, get a nice workout in. But I didn't worry about what I was eating or what I was drinking. I just wanted to indulge and just be. And I feel like, again, we never really get to do that. So I just wanted to just be in the moment, not worry about work, not worry about the future, not worry about anything, and just be present. And I feel like we did a really good job of that. We didn't worry about like, oh, what are we doing later? It was just, oh, we'll get there, we'll figure it out. We didn't really plan things out.
And the plans that we did make, we canceled 50% of.
Yeah.
Just because that was the sort of
Would you say?
I would say that the one was something that we kind of accidentally on the fly came up with a great idea of taking photos. Because I know I always talk about how we have no photos of ourselves.
Right.
We have photos of places and you with the kids and me with the kids, but never just together. You and I doing anything.
Yeah.
So we went out of our way to make sure that we took lots of photos, so much so that you tracked down a photographer in Maui who came to the beach on the resort, and we did a fun little shoot, and we've got like these amazing photos now that will
good memories
that will last forever, and we can add to our gallery wall in the house.
We'll post some of those on our Bear With Us Instagram.
Yeah, let's leak a few of those slowly but surely to give the people what they want. And my other biggest takeaway would have to be, without a shadow of a doubt, spam.
Spam.
That's my newfound obsession with the canned meat treat. The Hawaiians know how to do spam right. Spam in everything. Spam omelets, spam sushi, which I think is called musubi or musashi or something along those lines. They look like sushi, but with a nice piece of spam on top. Spam is definitely a world I'm really, really curious about exploring a little more of.
Mr. Spam-a-lot over here.
That's me. I love spam.
I had the best time. I mean, I'm trying to even think of what else we can talk about from the honeymoon.
I mean, there are a lot of dirty details. I mean,
yeah.
Twice in a night, in the middle of the night, twice
babe,
in a row,
babe,
2 days
we
in a row.
Don't need to talk about
okay,
that.
Okay, we won't. I'm just giving them hints.
I think that's important for your honeymoon.
What?
A lot of sex.
Yeah.
Because, again, when we're home, you're not busy with the kids or at work or we're tired or this or that. We didn't have to worry about that on the honeymoon.
All bets were off.
That was great.
Yeah, it was certainly a very, very great way to spend our time on our honeymoon. We were talking when we were on our honeymoon about how many people get married and they don't really get to know their partner until the honeymoon.
Right.
I'm sure that's probably less common nowadays. I mean, the whole old school style of, you know, I mean, hey, if you wait for marriage, that's your prerogative. Good on you. But just to spend that much time uninterrupted with another person, you and I are used to it.
Right.
Hence our entire previous conversation. But to spend 7 days in the same room, in the same area with your new significant other, there's got to be some people that go on their honeymoon and are just like, what the hell did I do?
Well, and I think too, traveling with your partner is a huge make or break moment because we travel together all the time. We're used to how we do things. We're used to how we go through the airports. We're used to how we board on the plane. Like, we do things the same way.
Right.
Imagine traveling with someone you've never traveled with before. They're like, imagine they're the person that stands up as soon as the plane or as soon as the seatbelt sign goes off. Like, that's a deal breaker.
What if your wife claps when you land?
Yeah.
Can you just annul the marriage right then and there?
Seriously.
If you're one of those people that clap when your plane lands.
Or like when, like maybe they're really messy in the hotel or, you know, like just little things that you don't think about. But when you travel with someone, to me, that is a huge make or break because that's real eye opener, pet peeves, and you could just get like really irked by something. So I think that that's something that a lot of people on their honeymoon could be their first time traveling together. And that's a huge eye opener.
Yeah, it could definitely lead to some hairy, sticky situations.
Yeah.
Not the fun kind.
Thank God we're used to that.
Well, so. We survived. I cannot wait to head back to Maui at some point in our lives because it has to happen. I'm curious about exploring some of the other islands. Maui is very much like geared toward relaxation.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't a ton of stuff to do. There were activities. You could take charter boats and we went zip lining and things like that. But the whole vibe of the island was very much
chill,
relax, just chill out, just enjoy,
which is what we needed
exactly
for us.
When we couldn't, I wouldn't have done anything differently.
Yeah, I mean, there's more lines we can explore, so maybe when we renew our vows in 5 years or something.
No, I was gonna thought you were gonna say next time you get married.
Off.
That was a joke.
Bow, bow.
Wow, I never thought I'd be glad to hear Blue make an appearance.
I mean, we have time for a question or two.
Make sure that you keep adding to the Bear With Us mailbag. If you've submitted questions and we haven't got to them, submit them again. We may still get to them anyway, but the ones at the top of the list are usually the first ones we see. BearWithUsPod@gmail.com. I'm going to remind you again while I am pontificating, Leah's favorite word. Like, subscribe, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a comment. And if you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, do that. It's amazing the feedback we've gotten and how many people actually prefer staring at our two mugs on the computer screen or television while we ramble through these here nonsensical episodes.
You know what I was thinking we should do next week? A mailbag episode. Because we've gone over so much. Like last week we only had time for one. Today we went way too long. We're only going to have time for one.
Yes.
There's so many updates we've gotten, questions we've gotten. We need to do a mailbag
episode. I think that's a great episode, and I'm gonna add on to that. Because now that we are back, now that we know, at least for the foreseeable future, we shouldn't have any major interruptions, barring some usual, you know, the usual work headaches, but we can work around those. We should be able to come at you regularly as scheduled from here on out, and at least until we burn ourselves out again. Let us know what you want more of. Let us know what you love. Let us know what you hate. If there's something that you don't like about
when,
the show,
when Matt,
you can't kick me off the show. That is not an option. I'm an integral part of this. But we love your feedback. You guys are always awesome about giving it to us. So we're asking for more of it. Refill the mailbag. Maybe next week we can dive in to help you with your problems, with your relationships, romance, or any other wild aspect of life that you give a damn what we have to say about.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail! Okay. The one and only question number one, honey. My fiance's family is a huge trigger for me because they are very Christian and so different from my family. Also, very pushy with their beliefs. It can be very overbearing, especially his mom. I stand strong in the belief that I'm young, 26, and valuing I need time to form my own beliefs and really don't appreciate being told or persuaded how to live. My fiance deals with it fine, he just ignores it because he's used to it. He has also grown to form his own beliefs that no longer align with theirs. I am very straight up with my own family when they try to dictate me and tell me how to live my life and have set boundaries in place with them, and they know when to not cross the line. My family will accept me and my boundaries no matter what. I'm scared to approach this topic with his family, but it has got to the point where I get anxiety about going to see them and quite honestly, almost afraid of getting married and them becoming worse or more pushy. I need to nip this in the bud now. Just want your advice on how.
Oof.
That's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot to get to in this. There's several things to take into consideration. Let's look at it from our perspective. you, Leah, are more religious than I am.
Yeah.
But we share similar beliefs. Yeah. I would not say I'm religious, but I was raised going to church. I still to this day, and we've discussed numerous times, sending my kids to church to learn sort of the basic tenets of being a good human being.
Right.
First and foremost. Like, and it doesn't matter what religion, whether it's Christian, Catholic, or if it's, you know, Buddhist or Muslim. Usually the primary teachings of most religions are sort of guidelines on how to be a good person.
Yeah.
Whether you are more into the dogma of Catholicism than I am in any form of religion, but we don't really butt heads on this.
No, and I think it's important for you to believe what you believe and don't listen to what other people are trying to preach or push on you. Stand strong in what you believe. I'm not saying be ignorant. If other people want to suggest something, you can listen to it and be open to it, but it doesn't mean that that's what you have to believe. And I think everyone has their own right to believe their own thing.
Yep.
But the fact that your partner is not really agreeing with what they believe and you guys are on the same page, to me, that's the most important thing. And I think if he's a good partner, he can talk to his family. If you sit down, you talk to your partner and you tell him, like, listen, this is really bothering me. I don't know what to do. It's just getting to a point where it's becoming uncomfortable and I don't like it. If he's a good partner, he can talk to his family and be like, hey, this is my girl. We're about to get married. We're going to be together. This is what we believe, and you don't need to keep pushing it on us. And if they still don't listen, well, then okay. But at least he tried. And even if you guys go talk together, I don't know what your relationship is with them, if you're okay or open to talking to them about it. But at the end of the day, you're not marrying his family. You're marrying him. And it's you two. It's your family. I don't know how often you see them. I'm not saying you shouldn't see them anymore, but maybe you just kind of cut back a little bit and you focus on you two and your future together.
I think those are very valid suggestions, and I would also say this actually reminds me of something my dad told me long ago, that when it comes to families in other aspects of your relationship, whether it be my family, obviously you and I both are very close with our families, but my dad told me long ago that once you have a family of your own, a wife and kids, that is your priority.
Yeah.
What goes on under your own roof. I'm pretty sure we've talked about it on here before, because I keep that belief. Because many times, oh, well, you want to go here to the, oh, you don't really want to go, but your family wants you to go. And it can become a headache when you're trying to please everybody
else.
That's not us, No. I'm just
in general. My mom listens. I don't want her to be like, wait, what?
No. I love your family. Yeah. Your family's awesome. But the priority should be, when you're building your own life, you and your partner and anyone else who lives in that space, that house, whether they be your kids or if, you know, whatever that looks like, that's your priority one. So as long as you and your fiance are on the same page, or at least this isn't a point of contention, have the conversation with him. More often than not, I don't know this person, but I'd be willing to bet it'd probably go, oh, yeah, I didn't realize it was that big of a deal. Like, I didn't even think it was a thing. But if it makes you uncomfortable, you need to address it. And it might be something as where you guys just have to smile and nod for a while and go, oh, yeah, okay, grandma, you're right. This, you know, I know we've never touched each other because we're not married. Whatever the aspect is that's giving you guys pause. Sometimes it's life. We all go through it. You don't necessarily have to agree with everybody, but you just be cordial. Don't cause a great rift in the family. That's the one thing to avoid. Don't cause a problem. And just, you know, make sure you and him are on the same page. And beyond that, hey, let everybody else think what they want. You just
have to block it out. Like, it is what it is. If you're in love with him, and for, like, the fact that he said he just ignores it, okay, well, then that's what you got to do too. I know it might be, maybe it's harder for you because they're not your family, but you do have to set boundaries at the end of the day. And maybe there hasn't been a point where his family has felt like, oh, she doesn't even want to hear this. Maybe they don't get that vibe from you. I don't know if you're just, like, being overly nice and you're not really telling them that it's not for you, but at the end of the day, it's you and him, and that's that.
Before we leave, I know we're going to do the mailbag episode next week, but I know I forwarded you at least one positive, fun update. I feel like we should give one of them, because we get multiple updates, and Leah proclaimed loudly in the car on the way here, I love updates.
I do. Okay, update. Dear Matt and Leah, congratulations.
Leah often forgets how to read.
No, because I'm just... Congratulations and best wishes on the marriage. You two are the best. Wanted to update the show. I asked a while ago about finding a job. just landed a great position at a biotech company with better benefits, culture, and pay. Thank you for the advice on being prepared and faking it till you make it. Your words helped when the job search was a grind. Much love. I love that. That's my motto in life, fake it till you make it. I think it's a great, great little motto when it comes to work and your career and things like that.
Totally. Always exciting whenever we get fantastic updates that the nonsense that we spew week after week actually helps people out in their lives, whether they be personal or professional. I got an idea. Let's blow this popsicle joint and go practice what we were doing at like 3 a.m. in Maui.
I can't believe that we just... Thank you guys for, no pun intended, bearing with us. I just feel like we couldn't go on with the Maui talk until we worked through that because it's just been...
Do you feel better now?
I do.
You look lighter.
I feel lighter.
Goodbye forever.
Are you better?
I just tried to say, I'm like a feather.
I can't stand you.
Goodbye forever.
Bear with us.